On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss the controversial Vontaze Burfict suspension, Matthew Stafford's ridiculous contract extension, and also give you our college football playoff predictions as we near our favorite teams kicking off Thursday night. We end the show with our fantasy draft of the first things we would buy once we signed our huge sports contracts. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, thanks for tuning in to the Natty Boys podcast. Today is Thursday, August 31st, and Vontaze Burfict is dead.
Fingers crossed.
He's not dead yet.
His death sentence is currently being appealed, I believe.
Yes. Okay, so he's still got the executioner stay in play here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
If the penalty flag didn't hit, then you must have quit.
How long have you been working on that one?
I literally just thought of it.
Oh, nice.
You little creative guy.
So yeah. Since this news broke on Sunday night, that's pretty much all Cincinnati Twitter has been about, is just meltdowns over Burfict and not agreeing with the league.
Yeah, there's really not a lot going on in Cincinnati these days.
Right, with the Reds just constantly they're not losing constantly, but they just are completely out of the race.
Right, yeah, playing irrelevant baseball right now.
I hear a lot of people saying, like, you know, why there wasn't a flag in the game, so how can this even be reviewed? There doesn't need to be a flag in the game.
Right, that argument comes from the people that don't know anything about sports and don't know what the hell they're talking about. So,
I mean, he's going to be under a microscope all the time, no matter what he's doing.
Yes.
I saw a video clip of the play before anything came out about a suspension or anything. And I thought, okay, that was unnecessary. Probably wasn't a penalty necessarily when I first watched it. Didn't think it was going to get any sort of attention like this.
Yeah.
I guess it had happened before the game on Sunday, I guess sometime either Friday or Saturday. The league came out and said, by the way, Vontaze Burfict suspended the first 5 games of the season, which I think is the starting point with as many infractions as he's had. It is heavy-handed right now, but I think the way the league multiplies the suspension times, I believe that 5 is the starting point. They just kind of work their way back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with Mac 1,000%. The microscope, he should be under a microscope. He's had multiple infractions.
He's got that reputation as, you know, the guy that does stupid shit like that.
And I get the 5-game push for the start. I just don't, and I get that there were 2 rules and, you know, rule infractions based off of what came out today. I just don't get how, when the rule is you can make contact within 5 yards, as long as it's not to the head and you're not holding the receiver, how it gets deemed illegal in the NFL's eyes.
I think it should have been a pass interference penalty, because technically the ball was in the air. So that point, it doesn't matter how far downfield he is. Right. It's still a penalty. That's a pass interference, obviously, isn't suspension worthy. And I think a lot of what the people that are really kind of fighting against this online are looking at, or what they're doing, is they're trying to look at this, I guess, in a vacuum. Look at this single incident by itself. And when you do that, then, this play does not warrant 5 games. It probably doesn't warrant any games.
Right.
Nothing that Burfict does is going to be looked at in a vacuum. Every single thing he does is going to take into consideration every single thing he's done, and his reputation has kind of earned him that level of scrutiny. And that reputation, I mean, that goes back to his college days.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know anything about him at the high school level, but I know he was notorious for getting these unsportsmanlike conduct, unnecessary roughness penalties in college, and that was a big part of the reason why nobody drafted him, because they didn't want that liability. The Bengals took a chance on him as an undrafted free agent, kind of low risk, high reward there. And
right.
I mean, it's paid off, but obviously he's done some things that have hurt the team. And if he's getting suspended and he's not playing, then there's really no benefit to the team for having him on the roster.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he needs to be let go, but at some point, I think that's something that has to cross the minds of the front office.
He no longer gets the benefit of the doubt. Like, he right. he has earned his reputation, and it's not like we're making this shit up about him. You know, this is based on his actions on the field. He hasn't done anything bad off the field. You know, off the field, he seems like he's, which is a complete 180 from a lot of Bengals players
what
now.
What we're used to, yeah.
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 But in the senior VP of officials, of officiating, said that the two rule infractions were, some of them are new this season, so it's going to be hard to officiate them, and it's also going to be hard for the NFL to, I mean, they're trying to set a precedent now, I think, with these new rules, and they said that it's a defenseless receiver, which, I mean, he was running his route looking back at the quarterback, so Vontez put his, he made contact with his chest. You know, he didn't do anything to the head or neck area. I don't know that he was necessarily a defenseless receiver, but I think it was an unnecessary hit since the ball was already out of Alex Smith's hands and going somewhere else.
Yeah. Mac, how do you feel about that type of hit?
Not a big fan. Not a big fan of that at all. So I know what that dude was feeling like from Kansas City. I'm guessing he did this. But I'm just so sick of it. Like I was saying earlier today in our little group chat, it almost is making me like hope for the worst for Vontez, which I hate to do just because, and not speaking to Hefe necessarily, but there's so many people that can't see things logically and like you said are pretty much trying to look at it in a vacuum. So
And to be honest with you, the thing that upset me the most was the five games. I do think he should be punished to some extent for it because I do believe what DB was saying. I do think the hit was unnecessary. At some point it becomes, okay, it's hard-nosed football to, okay, you're legitimately trying to hurt somebody. Like a couple years ago when he was twisting Cam's ankle. Like,
yeah.
Stupid shit like that where it's like,
yeah, it's definitely
okay,
not
dude.
On
we
that
get
level.
It. You're a dirty player. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like the notorious dirty players. That's what you see with them is, the James Harrisons. You know, back when James Harrison was in, you know, had a lot of infractions. And it's almost like they're deliberately trying to be like, okay, I'm a badass.
They're headhunting.
There's just no place in the NFL for people like that. And I agree with you guys on a lot of things that Perfect. Yeah. And not to ramble, but I do think Perfect needs to learn to play within the bounds of the rules, but I don't know what the cure to it is.
Well, yeah, and he may not be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that I don't think he's going to be able to do it. So,
when does the clock reset? I know that there's a way, I think on the off-the-field stuff there is, and I don't know if it's the on-field stuff too. How long does he have to go without a personal foul or some sort of infraction like this where he doesn't have the repeat offender tag anymore? Isn't there something
like
that?
He went all last season without an unnecessary roughness penalty.
Yeah.
And so. but he also missed three games for unnecessary roughness last year. Yeah. So it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to gauge this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. It's a hard thing to gauge because I do believe he's a hard-nosed player. And I just don't think he knows any better. I just don't think he knows any better. Like,
and I feel like to a certain extent, the NFL is kind of making it up as they go with him, too. Because,
exactly.
I mean, there's really not that much of a precedent now for this type of thing. Because you had guys like this all over the place back in the day when there really wasn't this importance put on player safety. Now, you know, you look at the concussion lawsuits that you have. You look at all the big-name players that are going down with injuries, you know, week in and week out. You know, I think the NFL finally realizes that they do have a problem that they need to address. And the way they're choosing to attack it is by implementing these player safety rules. And, you know, I think they get criticized a lot for, you know, making the game soft and taking away the football element. And there may be some truth to that, but, I don't know what that right answer is, how they, make it safer, make it, so they're protecting their players without taking away from the core of the game.
You start flagging touchdown celebrations. That's how you make it safer.
There's no place for that in the game.
You make sure their socks are all uniform and not too high or too low.
Yeah, but the big casualty from that whole movement is guys like Vontaze Burfict. They're going to suffer from it because they either adapt or they basically get phased out of the game. And I think Burfict's struggling with that because a lot of what he does is just instinct. That's what makes him such a great football player, but that's also what makes him such a liability in this kind of new age of the NFL.
He is Conor McGregor throwing hammer fists. It's just what he does.
Exactly.
Can't stop it.
And this is where I'll admit to you guys that I had gotten kind of heated with you in our conversation today over text.
I have
a very low boiling point, as you guys will find out, getting to know the Mill Iron crew and the Natty Boys. I'm very biased on a lot of this because I played for a long time. I didn't have to come across the middle and catch a pass, but I have a point here. I didn't have to come across the middle and catch a pass like Mac did or like Witty did. So it is hard for me to understand what it's like to get hit when you're looking back at the quarterback. So I will admit that biased on the defensive side of the ball.
At the end of the day, I think that this will end up coming down from a 5-game suspension probably. And that's the one thing that I hate about this is Witty mentioned it earlier is the NFL is so sporadic with how they discipline their players that, you know, and they are the final say. Like they get the final word on it no matter what. Right. You know, if you appeal it, that's fine. Roger Goodell is still going to swing his dick around and do whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
I'm picturing just a wheel of punishment that they have in Roger Goodell's office where he just spins it and it has just a number on it with suspensions. Yeah. Whatever it lands on, that's what you get.
Yep.
And the appeal process, you just spin it again and hopefully you get less.
It's like I prefer the South Park. South Park. Yeah, the cutting the head off the chicken.
Bailout, bailout.
The one good thing for the Bengals, though, is if you look at their schedule, even if the 5 games holds up, the toughest game there is against Green Bay,
which with Burfict, I still probably think that's a loss. So
right, but there's no reason to think that they can't go 4-1 or 3-2 even without Burfict in those five games.
Right.
So it ultimately, hopefully, shouldn't be too much of a detriment to the team, but it kind of comes down to more of, you know, when's it going to stop? Because are we going to be in this position again later this year, sometime next year? You know, it makes it hard when you don't know whether or not you're going to have your star player on a weekly basis.
Right.
Which, can you imagine being in Cleveland shoes when you don't have a star player?
Yeah.
They're trying to trade away like the best asset that they have right now.
We literally have played them for 5+ seasons. I don't know how long Hayden's been there. He is the only person in the NFL I see that can stop AJ Green, and he does it on a consistent basis, and they're trading that away.
So it came out today that the Browns are actively listening to offers for their best cornerback, best player probably on the team, Joe Hayden.
Such a joke.
Probably the only player. Well, Kaiser's probably selling some jerseys now, but other than Kaiser, probably the only person that they actually sell jerseys for in the team shop.
I'm sure.
Yeah, they got Myles Garrett now.
Oh, Joe Thomas. I'm sure Joe Thomas, I mean, even though he's a lineman, just because he's probably one of the best linemen in the league, he probably sells a decent amount of jerseys.
Yeah.
And the next best is Kellen Winslow, probably.
Yeah.
Don't ever buy a quarterback jersey in Cleveland.
I mean, I can understand what Cleveland's doing now. They're going for that Spurs kind of makeup where you don't have any superstars. It's just everybody kind of coming together and playing as a team. So I'm sure this is going to work out great for them. I'm probably thinking in the next 5 years, 2 or 3 Super Bowl championships probably for them.
Yeah.
So it's just, they're just one team.
Once they sign Kaepernick, they're off to the races.
Even Cleveland's not that desperate for a quarterback.
Maybe they're innovators and they're just going to go no cornerbacks. Maybe they're starting a trend.
Load the box.
You got to beat us in the run. Yeah. We know you're not going to throw
one guy back at safety, and then you bring them all.
This is not a passing league, so we're gonna load the box up and make you beat us on the ground.
Exactly. Makes sense. Smart.
Plus, we know Myles Garrett's going to get the sack anyway, so we don't need cornerbacks.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's just a prime example of why Cleveland's a complete joke. I have to think it has nothing to do with Hugh either, but who knows?
You know, I want to root for Hugh, except that he's in Cleveland. Like, yeah, if he went anywhere out of the division, I would have been like, all right, I hope he does well. But I want to see him lose basically just every single time he plays the Bengals. They could beat the Steelers. I would root for that just because that would be funny. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Fucking Cleveland, man.
What's the goal? Is Kaiser going to get good in 3 years and then you're going to trade him away? Like,
yeah, I don't think so.
And Hayden's going to end up a Patriot.
This is a little bit off topic, but I saw some people upset that the Bengals flipped Marquise Flowers for a 7th-round draft pick.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome for a guy that hasn't played.
And I would have probably thrown a caveat on that draft pick. I would have said that the Patriots actually have to pick the player and then give them back to us.
Yeah.
Because they're so good at finding players in those late rounds. I mean, that's true. Too, but...
Yeah.
We'd have a 6-foot white slot receiver in a couple years.
Exactly.
Well, the way I read it, the Bengals traded Flowers for a 7th-round draft pick, so I took that to mean we're getting Tom Brady. Is that not correct?
I'll put you guys on the hot seat. Like apples to apples right now, would you take Tom Brady at his point this point in his career, or would you take Andy Dalton at this point in his career?
For one season, I'm taking Brady. For the kind of remainder of their careers, I'm probably going Dalton just because I don't think Dalton will ever get to the same level as Brady, but I think Dalton's going to be productive for longer than Brady is at this time just because of age, not because, you know, Brady hasn't really shown much signs of declining even in what, how old is he now?
He just turned 40.
Turned 40. So, yeah, somehow he manages to, stay young and healthy and actually get better all that time.
This is the year. This
I'm not
is the
really
decline
sure how
year.
He does that, but
right here without Edelman, he's going downhill.
He is on the Madden cover.
I hope so.
So
I really hope that happens.
Shredded knee is probably
Edelman took the Madden cover curse for Brady. That's he jumped in front of that board for him.
That was nice of him.
That's a hot take right there.
Speaking of a true American who'd probably take a bullet for somebody, J.J. Watt has stepped up in a huge way. I think his initial goal was $200,000 to raise for this Houston disaster relief.
Yeah.
And last I checked, they were at $2 million.
Yeah, I just kept seeing updates from his Twitter about the next goal. Like, all right, goal achieved, we're moving on to the next one. And his goal right now is $3 million. So he's doing some great things for the city of Houston in this, you know, this tragic time that they're having.
Yeah.
And it's good to see him step up. I still think he's really douchey, but it's nice to see him, do some good things for a city in need.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're currently at $4 million with the current goal being $5 million now. So.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
That's crazy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what was it? The Tennessee Titans owner put up $1 million of that, I believe.
Nice.
Which is a pretty decent chunk right there, yeah.
Yeah.
For division rival. I'd say, sorry, JJ, you're on your own here, buddy.
Hey, JJ.
Part of the stipulation was he has to be benched for their game.
Yeah.
But no, it's cool to see JJ Watt do that.
Definitely.
Somebody who could probably afford to lend some money for the Houston Relief Fund is Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
I believe he's a Texas boy, isn't he? I know he went to Georgia, but I think he's from Texas. He just signed an extension for $135 million on top of his current deal, making him the highest paid player in NFL history. That's a record that gets broken every time a quarterback gets a new deal.
Right.
But that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All yeah. I know is if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I am very, very happy. Because he's got an extension coming up, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's got a sweet mustache.
Yeah,
he does. Sweet mustache. That thing is, he needs to dye that white so he can look like Sam Elliott.
That would be awesome.
That Stafford money is impressive. In his 8 seasons, he's made the playoffs 3 times. And in the 5 other seasons, he's been under 500. So it's really hard to say what you're getting with Stafford. And a lot of it is the talent around him. I'm not going to say that it's all Stafford's fault. But the Lions just haven't been a really good team in a lot of the years that he's been around. And it's not all his fault, but I mean, some of it goes on the quarterback's shoulders just because of who he is.
He's never helped my fantasy team either, so I don't really think he deserves it.
Well, this year will be the year.
I know. He's my backup.
Nah, he just got his money. He's not going to produce.
No, once he's shown that he's worth it, he feels vindicated, and he's going to go out there and earn that money now. He's going to show the team that they made a wise investment, and he's going to put up some ridiculous fantasy numbers on a way to a 4-12 season.
Marvin Jones is going to have 5 touchdowns in 1 game instead of 4.
Oh, wow. You know, it was Andy that was holding Marvin Jones back all those years.
Yep.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah, we were saying it before we signed on. I just don't see him as a $135 million quarterback.
No.
120 maybe, but yeah, 135.
Yeah.
No. And I haven't seen how it's actually structured. I mean, I assume that the large majority of that's probably incentive-based, but I don't know.
It's guaranteed.
I don't know how much that is. Yeah, 135 guaranteed.
I think like 60-some of it is guaranteed.
So, Witty, I don't know if you saw this today, but Eddie George actually came out talking a little bit about the Stafford contract.
I did not see that.
Kind of his only quote was that Tom Brady is severely underpaid if Stafford is the highest paid quarterback of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like we alluded to, you're going to just see every single quarterback that gets a new contract is going to break that record.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we're seeing in the NBA right now where every single contract is the biggest contract ever. It's just these players are making so much money, and Tom Brady just happens to be, you know, not in this current string of new contracts. And
he's got a team-friendly deal is basically all that is.
Yeah.
And that's what's crazy to think about is Dalton, when his extension come up, is to think of him making more than $135 million. Even though I'm a Dalton guy and a Bengal fan, that's crazy to me.
That's a lot of money.
His last deal got a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, the Bengals got ripped for that. And
I think it was like 107 would have been the final number if he had met like all of his contracts.
There's a lot of performance.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what people looked at. They saw that final like total, and they're like, holy shit, how can you pay a guy like Dalton that kind of money? But nobody really looked at like how team-friendly that was, how incentive-based that was.
It took like AFC championships and MVPs and Super Bowl.
Yeah. And Dalton being the team first guy that he is, he didn't want to put the team in that kind of hole, so he's helped them lose every single playoff game that he's been in because
smart.
Yeah. He doesn't want the team to be on that hook for all that money. So
he's humble.
As a fan, I appreciate that because, you know, he's letting the team share the wealth with other guys. AJ McCarron wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he
probably
selfish.
Won those games.
He needs that money for tattoos.
Yeah.
And tattoo
restaurants
removal.
And sushi.
Probably child support in a couple of years.
Speaking of restaurants in Cincinnati, did you guys see that Wahlburgers is coming to Cincinnati?
Yes.
Mark Wahlberg's restaurant?
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that.
I just hope Mark's there. I got a little
he was
Mark
today.
Wahlberg mail crush,
he was today, yeah.
So.
We were a block and a half away from Mark Wahlberg today and didn't even know it until I saw it on Twitter.
It's going to be in the spot of the old Pie Pizzeria on, I think it's E6th.
6th and Main.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually, not to brag, I ate at the same restaurant that Mark Wahlberg was at last night. I ate there Saturday night. So I think Mark and I, you know, 6 degrees of separation are probably friends now.
Nice.
Just like a discount at the restaurant now?
You probably
something?
Pissed in the same toilet.
We might have because I think there's only 2 urinals.
Nice.
Unless there's a special celebrity 50, urinal.
50-50 shot.
I know. But they, and I saw in the news this morning that they said, Mark Wahlberg's in town. and he owns a place called Wahlburgers. It's possible he was in Cincinnati talking about burgers. So I was like, then they couldn't come out and say it because it wasn't announced yet. But yeah, that's exciting news. I'm excited. I've always wanted to try that place. I knew there was one in Cleveland now.
Yeah.
And they're starting to branch out. They all were in, I think, all in the Boston area at first. Then they had spread out to some of the other bigger cities. But looks like we're next on the list to get one, which is awesome.
All right, so let's transition a little bit back into sports. In college football, it was recently announced that there's going to be some color rush jerseys coming to our TV soon.
They just couldn't keep it in the NFL. They decided to infiltrate college football.
It was just that popular.
I don't mind the Florida ones, but the Michigan ones are terrible.
Yeah, as a completely unbiased observer, I didn't think it was possible for Michigan to look any uglier, but the all yellow is just a terrible look.
It's maize.
Yeah, that's true. Anytime they go all yellow, it's a terrible look. And at least their yellow isn't that ugly of a yellow. The absolute worst looking uniforms I've ever seen is the all yellow that Minnesota wears from time to time.
Yeah.
This isn't that bad, but it's close. That's just too much yellow, too much ugly, too much trash football teams. So I hope Florida just beats them by like 70.
I haven't looked. Did they announce is OSU for Thursday? Are they just wearing the red and silver uniforms?
I believe so.
Not scarlet and gray. They're red and silver, right?
Yeah, red and silver. It's burgundy and gray.
I really like that classic Ohio State Chrome helmet.
Oh, the one that looks like a Christmas tree ornament that you got.
It's like the most traditional look I've ever seen. It looks really good in Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sell sarcasm very well.
Witty, what's the prediction for OSU Indiana tomorrow night? Or tonight, I guess, since it's Thursday.
It's going to be a win for the Buckeyes. Yeah. I don't think they're going to come out and blow the doors off of them just because, one, it's in Indiana. Indiana's played Ohio State tough, a few times in the past, 5 years or so.
Right.
In its first game of the year, you're still kind of getting used to new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So, I think they're probably not going to just manhandle them. I'd say they win by, I'll say, two scores. And
I didn't see a spread on that yet.
I thought you were going to look 68-7.
No. I think it'll be too close for comfort, and I think this will lead everyone to say Ohio State's overrated. They're not really that good. I think they then bounce back and beat the brakes off of Oklahoma for the second year in a row. But I think they'll struggle a little bit against Indiana, but ultimately I think they'll win.
Do covered wagons have brakes? I'm going to go 31-17.
I'll say 28-14.
OSU Indiana is that's one of the games Thursday night. But the real game, the big game of Thursday night is UC against Austin Peay.
A lot of people are talking national attention.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that. ESPN 3. So
I keep hearing them say national championship implications. So
yeah, I think UC pulls off probably a 3-touchdown victory. Hopefully we'll see Hayden Moore for the first time as a starter, or I guess he just recently got named the starter. He's started games in the past, but
he was one of the 17 starters I've had in the last two seasons.
Right. But he officially got announced. So we'll see how Fickell's tenure as head coach starts off.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Fickell can do at UC. I think he can do some good things for that program if he sticks around long enough.
Hopefully.
But I think it's safe to say that after Thursday, the state of Ohio will be 2-0.
Ooh, I have to check the schedule. There might be some other MAC teams playing in the Thursday night game.
Akron
or Kent?
Yeah, that's what I looked specifically for that. But for some reason, I wasn't looking for like Akron and Kent specifically. Yeah,
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, no, I know I didn't see them.
Chances are they'll lose.
So Mac, as our resident Ohio University football season ticket holder, how are you feeling about the season?
Well, they're predicted to win the MAC East, which they did last year. I think they're going to be pretty good. They've got a lot of guys returning that some got injured early on last year, and they got a lot of guys that have been playing since they were redshirt freshmen or sophomores. So the big thing with OU is always quarterback. Do they have a quarterback?
Yeah.
That can play and be their regular starter that we joked about UC earlier. Always swapping out starting quarterbacks, but OU has been just as bad, if not worse, the last couple years anyway. You never know who's going to start from week to week. And then there's really no rhyme or reason on why guys aren't starting sometimes. They'll have a great game, and then they'll get yanked the next week, and you don't know why. And I think it's just Frank Solich never feels comfortable with any one starter in particular if it's not...
Being drunk.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not the guy from day one, I think he has a hard time really locking down anyone in that starting role.
Correction from earlier. The state of Ohio will be 3-0 after Thursday.
Who's the other team?
Toledo. They play Elon. So I assume...
Yeah, I assume they'll
yes.
be
that.
Yeah.
So while we do have some games on Thursday, we've got a big slate of games on Saturday, which it's pretty exciting. There's a lot of good matchups. You got your Florida State-Alabama game, which a lot of people think could be a playoff, if not national championship preview. But this Florida-Michigan game, I didn't realize there was this much leeway and flexibility in when you name your rosters, when you set your roster. When you name your, I knew that you don't have to name your starters by any certain time necessarily, but
yeah.
They are just playing cat and mouse on who's actually going to be dressed, who's actually the starting quarterback, what they're going to do with their roster. And it's hard for me. I know Witty probably picks a side in this, but as an unbiased observer, I think it's kind of funny, and the gamesmanship is funny.
Yeah, and I do find it humorous. And it reading into it a little bit more, it seems like it's more on Harbaugh than it is on McElwain. Is that how it's pronounced? McElwain?
I don't know. The dude that likes to spoon sharks.
Yep, yeah, the shark spooner. allegedly. It sounds like his big thing was just he wasn't coming out naming who was going to be a starter at quarterback. And he said he wasn't trying to keep that a secret so much as they still have three guys who are kind of in there competing. So he said they haven't said it. Whereas Harbaugh is just straight, you know, playing mind games with them at this point.
Yeah.
He refused to release the roster. If you go to the team's website, you can still pull up the roster, but it's the 2016 roster. And somebody actually filed a Freedom of Information Act a couple weeks back, like demanding that they release it. And I think the school filed something to get an extension on that. They just released a press notes or whatever this week, and that included a 2017 roster on it, and it was a roster filled with Michigan players who are currently in the NFL. So Harbaugh's in full troll mode at this point, but I think it's kind of it's funny. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the game, but
how bummed would you be if you were a Michigan sophomore or a freshman? I'm sorry. And all you were thinking about was seeing your name on the website for the first time.
Yep.
And you're just sitting there. It's like me with my Amazon tracking for my shipments. I'm refreshing every 10 seconds to see if there's a new update. I'd imagine as a freshman, you're just sitting there like waiting to see your name, your number, your height, weight, your bio. That's just probably eating them alive.
That's what you get for going to a shit school.
And this is a classic just Harbaugh family move, because I get at least one alert every day that says Flacco may or may not be back for week one. Perryman may or may not be back for week one. So I just think this is just a classic Harbaugh.
Harbaugh punches move. Man in Bennigan's.
Harbaugh versus Ryan.
So with college football starting up this Thursday, it's time. Well, actually, it started last week with Stanford and Rice, which Stanford blew the tits off Rice.
And BYU had a game. BYU played someone like Portland State or something like that.
Yeah.
Which it was funny. And I know this is, I don't think they actually listen to podcasts and get on the internet, so I feel safe saying this, but the true Mormons at BYU that go there, if they choose to do their mission first, they come back as freshmen at like 22, 23 years old. And it's great, like the one running
Rumspringer.
The one freshman running back was like 21 years old, and the quarterback looked like he was like 30.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's funny to see.
Brandon Whedon making a comeback.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm sitting there watching the game like, that looks like a grown man. Like, you can usually tell that's a college kid. He's young. He's got some growing to do. But this guy was full-on 5 o'clock shadow, fat face. It was funny. Like, they mentioned that he had chosen to do his their mission work first. Yeah. So that's a weird dynamic in that whole. I don't know.
I pictured Kirk Herbstreit saying, "Blew the tits off," in like a live ESPN feed. I think Ohio State's going to blow the tits off Indiana.
Only Brent Musburger could have gotten away with that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Always Sunny.
That's where I thought you got it from.
Yeah. But with college football starting back up, it's time for the Natty Boys to make our college football playoff Final Four predictions. Hmm. And I'm guessing that it's really going to be the final three, because if every single one of us has to have Alabama in there, right? Is there a single one of us that don't have Alabama?
I guess we'll find out when we get around to doing our individual picks.
Okay, so my final three after Alabama, I'll just go ahead and throw them out there. I have Witte's Ohio State Buckeyes. They have some good games against Oklahoma, number 7. That's week 2. That'll be a pretty big game for them. I think that they can definitely win that one. They also have Penn State, who is ranked number 6 to start the season, and Michigan at number 11 to start the season ranked. I definitely think that Ohio State can go to the playoff undefeated.
Yeah. It's such a wild card with that Michigan game now that Michigan's getting better too.
Yeah.
Any rivalry game, it's going to be tough, but
So my third team after Alabama and Ohio State, I have Florida State. So I think that they are going to recover from a week 2 or a week 1 Alabama loss, and I think that they're going to run the table after that. So they have big games. I think that they're going to end up beating Clemson in the AAC or the ACC. Mm-hmm. Yep. They have big games against number 18 Miami, Louisville, and Clemson, and number 17 Florida. So I think that they're going to end up 12-1 or 10-1, whatever they are at the end of the season, and they're going to make it in. And my last one is a little bit of a dark horse. I have Oklahoma State coming out of the Big 12. So I think that they're going to beat they have games against Texas, West Virginia, who are all ranked, and then Oklahoma and Kansas State. And I think that they are going to win the Big 12 championship game to launch them into the college football playoff.
Fear the mullet.
So those were my four: Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, and my dark horse is Oklahoma State.
I think those are pretty good picks. And I like that Oklahoma State dark horse pick. I think they could definitely. Thank you.
No, I think that's a good one. Well, my picks are pretty much the same. I had Florida State. I like DB. I also think that they got a chance to rebound and run the table after that Alabama loss in week 1. Obviously, Alabama. I could see them maybe getting tripped up with one of their SEC games, but that never seems to deter the committee from throwing them in that Final Four.
They do have LSU and Auburn, who are ranked number 13 and number 12, respectively, in the SEC. So we'll see how those games pan out, but Alabama should take care of them.
Yeah, probably don't have to worry about Ole Miss anymore now that... Shit, what's his name?
Hugh Freeze.
Now that Hugh Freeze is out of there.
Yeah. That's an side note. There's a couple things that I get really nostalgic about that have nothing to do with my individual fandom. One is that 4 o'clock or 3:30 or 4 o'clock, whatever start time it is for the SEC game of the week. I always love watching those games.
Yeah.
A lot of times it ends up being like LSU or South Carolina, being the home team. I don't know why it always seems that way.
Yep.
And the other thing is, something that plays into my other pick here is, USC playing under the lights. And a lot of times it's against Notre Dame, that I see this. So USC was my other team.
Nice.
That I see getting in through the Pac-12. It's a strong enough conference where
they're definitely on the rise.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think they may fall a little short just because, like you said, they're on the rise. They're not the same old USC that was buying houses for running backs and but they're good still, and like I think they've got a good shot out of the Pac-12. And then my fourth and final, I did a lot of research on this one. When I found out I couldn't put the Cleveland Browns in the Final Four, I went with Witte's Ohio State Buckeyes. I think they run the table in the Big Ten. I could see them possibly hitting a roadblock with Oklahoma. I still think they beat Oklahoma, but you just never know in big games like that when teams aren't necessarily
and the
regular
thing,
foes.
Yep, and if you look at last year in Oklahoma, Ohio State just destroyed them, and part of that may have been the weather. There was basically like a monsoon before the game, but this year it's in Ohio State. They have a new head coach who is the youngest head coach in college football.
Yeah,
so it's going to be tough for them, but you know they've got one of the top Heisman Trophy contenders, Mayfield. So
that's what I was thinking. Baker Mayfield. This could be his coming out party for the Heisman race.
Yep, I think that should be a good game. I think it'll be closer than it was last year, but yeah, you never know. And anybody can stumble at any point down the line. That's one of the good things I think about the college football playoff is you can kind of have that one little trip up and still not not be killed for it. Whereas back in the BCS days, you lose one game, then
you're done.
There's a good chance you're not going to make it. You lose two games, you're all but guaranteed to be out of it. Whereas now you can still kind of squeak in if things fall your way.
And I think the Oklahoma game is early enough in the season that if they do end up tripping up, it's not that big of a deal. They can recover and still have a decent rest of the season. Uh-huh. And that's how I feel about the Florida State-Alabama game too.
Right. Yeah.
Like, regardless of who wins that, either team can recover and still make the playoff.
Yep, I agree.
In games like that, I feel like the committee just has to wipe it off the board unless one of the teams gets destroyed convincingly.
Yeah. And I think it's good for college football to have those big games early in the season.
I agree.
I give props to the teams that take that chance to do it, even if your team won't be necessarily hitting it on all cylinders, to take that early shot at a big team.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, Hefe, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the two first obvious ones. I think Alabama and Ohio State make it back to be the first two. I just think with these two, they're just both powerhouses. They get seems better year after year. I think both have solid coaches, so I think that has a lot to do with it. The talent that they bring in for backfill every year just seems to be better and better. So I expect those two to be in it. I'm going to go with Mac and say Florida State, for my third pick. I do think they lose to Alabama in the opener, but I think they bounce back with the strength of schedule. And I just see them as an up and coming team. I am going to go a little bit different direction on my fourth team. I had also done a little bit of research on this. One of the teams that they said could be a surprise this year and maybe the next Washington is a West Virginia. They've been a team that's kind of floated under the radar the last couple years, but they have a high-powered offense, very weird offense. They've always been notorious for kind of a weird set. They actually kind of started that three-down lineman with the split-out wide receivers that
Huggins plays that hard-nosed D.
But they kind of started that that setup that you're seeing in the NFL now. I know the Bengals have done it a couple times where they'll line up with three down linemen. The defense basically looks confused as hell, but then you just hand it off to the running back and he just runs for a 5 or 10 yard gain because there's nobody guarding him. So I've always liked West Virginia just because they kind of have the odd sets. But yeah, I look for them to be kind of my surprise fourth team to make it in.
I could see that. I kind of went chalk with mine. I've did a little bit of research too, and I think this was kind of what a lot of people are saying they see as their college football playoff teams. And it's what I think. So I stuck with it. I didn't want to have that, random dark horse just because, anybody could be that. But my picks are based. I had the same picks as Mac. I had Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, and USC.
I was waiting for some like Tulane. And,
no,
like,
yeah.
The way you were built, you were doing the long sell.
Yeah, no. I think Ohio State and Alabama both run the table this year, and I think that's ultimately going to be your national championship game. Florida State, I think they bounce back from the first week loss against Alabama. They're a strong team, though. I think they run the table after that. And then USC, I mean, it's going to come down to, I think, them and Washington out in the mm-hmm. Pac-12. And that's what it came down to last year, too.
I think
you see, like, USC, like you said, Mac, they're kind of building themselves back up. They were kind of in a bad spot there after Pete Carroll left, and they got hit with some sanctions. But I think they're coming back from that. So I think it's good to, when that program is relevant and up there at the top of the nation.
And solid uniforms.
I was going to say, yep, they're one of the best-looking teams in college football uniforms as well. So, so that's my pick. Like I said, nothing too exciting, but.
I've got honorable mentions from my brother G Money. He's saying his final four is Ohio State, Alabama, USC, just like you guys. But his dark horse is Penn State this year. It would be interesting to see two Big Ten teams make the playoff. I don't know that.
Also very cool uniforms.
Yeah, and we could have saw that last year. And obviously, there was a lot of controversy around Ohio State getting in, having not even played in the Big Ten championship game last year, whereas you had the Big Ten winner, Penn State, kind of on the outside looking in.
Right.
If I'm comparing all the teams head-to-head last year, I think I would have put Penn State over Washington, but I don't – and I think Washington was named number four by the committee, but I think – the team that everyone had the problem with getting in was Ohio State, just because of the fact that they didn't play in the Big Ten championship game, mm-hmm. especially considering the fact that the first year of the college football playoff, one of the big reasons Ohio State got put in over TCU or Baylor was the fact that Ohio State won their championship game.
Yeah.
And TCU and Baylor didn't have a championship game. So.
Yep.
I think the committee's still figuring it out. I don't think they really have any set. This is definitely what we favor over one criteria over another. I think a lot of it comes down to the pedigree of that particular team, which, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. I think that's just how it is. I don't think there's any way to kind of get that out of their mind. But
I think it's kind of good that they play it by a year-by-year basis like that.
Yeah.
So as our NCAA expert, Woody, do you see a time or place for an 8-10 team playoff? Do you think it's too much?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get there eventually. I don't necessarily know that we need it. But yeah.
And that's, I mean, yeah.
It comes down to money. If that money's there, it'll probably happen.
The money.
It doesn't matter. The
important thing.
It doesn't matter how many teams you have. There's always going to be that team that got just cut off is going to complain about it. I mean, you look at the NCAA basketball tournament now. You've got 68 teams making it, but, you know, there's still controversy over, well, why did, you know, this 12 seed get in over this potential team? Or, you know, and it's not as cut and dry as, well, the top 68 teams make it, and then, you know, 69 is when it first gets left off.
Nice.
Because of the whole automatic qualifier, and maybe they, you know, factor in something like that where they expand to 8 teams, and then the Power 6 conferences, shout out to the American Athletic Conference, they get automatic bids for their champions, and you have a couple wild cards where, you know, it could be anybody from anyone in the Division I.
Right.
Maybe they go something like that. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but the biggest thing I have that I think sucks about doing that is it kind of takes away from the tradition of the big bowl games, because now the this year, I believe it's the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl are the semifinal games.
I know one of them's the Rose Bowl,
but you know, the Rose Bowl used to be a really big deal, but now the Rose Bowl is just, it's just a semifinal game. So
the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and that's one of those things, you know, you don't want to keep doing something just because of the sake of tradition. I mean, tradition isn't a reason to keep doing something if a new way makes sense, but it's kind of, it gets harder and harder to keep that whole bowl concept, that whole bowl process in place as you expand this playoff as well. So I'd be interesting to see what happens with that, but I guess to bring my ramble to a close, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, right. But
we'll have to get that the Dr. Pepper vendor on the horn to,
Larry,
to see what he had. Yeah. So back into the pro football arena, Jay Cutler, he's had two jobs this year already. Well, three, I guess, technically. He left the Bears. He took his announcing position. And before even stepping one foot in the booth, literally and figuratively, he signed with the Dolphins.
He's going to have a hard time explaining this in his resume.
Why is there?
So it's not necessarily
a gap like in your resume, which is the often the problem. This is more just a what exactly happened. And Witty, you had a little more information on this. He was talking to one of our friends over at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, so they did an interview with Cutler. I think they were just kind of talking about his preparation for the upcoming season. And they kind of asked him, you know, how much time and preparation had he put into his broadcasting career? Had he really done any practicing to get ready for that? And his response was, you know, I'd be lying if I said I did. So he basically was just kind of flying by the seat of his pants. He wasn't doing any preparation for it, which I feel like is exactly how I would have done it. You know, I would have said,
I can't
oh,
knock him for this.
Yeah, I got my first broadcast coming up in 3 days. Okay, let me go on YouTube and search how to be a professional broadcaster. I'd watch a couple of videos there. Probably fall asleep during them, but still soak in that knowledge while I'm asleep because it's on autoplay.
Sounds very much like the prep for our Natty Boys podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, I can't hate him for that. But it's funny seeing the contrast between him and Romo, because Romo was doing like off-air practices at the Hall of Fame game, and you could tell he's really taking it seriously. And Cutler, I think he's just like, yeah, this seems like something to be fun to try. Let me.
And that is par for Jay Cutler's personality. Yeah.
And I know preparation to be an NFL quarterback is probably intense, but I could see the difference if you looked at both of them in the NFL of how they probably prepared for Sundays, too.
Yeah.
I hope Cutler still gives this this commentary thing a try after his career does come to an end for real. Just because I want the old school of you can still see a guy just smoking a cigarette while he's calling the game. sitting there with, I'd imagine, I don't know if he drinks bourbon, or I know he doesn't drink bourbon when we try to give it to him. He doesn't drink anything other than bad attitude. I just picture them cutting up to the booth for the in-between quarters analysis, and there just being a cloud of smoke from his Marlboro Lights.
There would be so many screen grabs of him just looking like an asshole when they were like when his telecast partner was talking and he's just staring off into space.
I don't want to like him is my thing. Like, I don't want him to just be the funny broadcaster, and I'm like, God.
Oh, he won't be.
He's
funny.
So no. But watch him be. Yeah. Like, you're going to be like, God damn it, I like Jay Cutler.
So this may kind of shock some people, but I think I'm at a point now where I would be okay with liking Jay Cutler. I think I'm ready to move past the
enough
incident.
People hate him that you're ready.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time we moved on to hating other people, and we can start liking Jay Cutler.
For all of my loyal fans out there, you will never hear me say that about LeBron. Just stay strong. Don't be weak like Witty.
I feel like Jay Cutler being a broadcaster, if he were to somehow get on with ESPN, would lend itself to so many great This Is SportsCenter commercials.
Oh, yeah. So I think the first This Is SportsCenter I would like to see of Jay Cutler is just him getting dropped off by the bus and just dragging his ass out of the bus, hungover looking.
Lighting jacket, up a cigarette just, outside exactly, of
the... dragging his jacket behind him like a little kid going into school. I am with you, though, Witty. I don't necessarily... I think I like to make fun of Jay Cutler. I don't necessarily really hate him all that much. I still... not a fan of the way he refused to take our drinks when we were being obnoxiously drunk. I mean, you're an NFL quarterback. Why did he go to Vanderbilt and become a NFL draft pick if he didn't want to be harassed by a bunch of young 20-some, whatever, how old we were. We're obviously 21. Some guys in their young 20s trying to harass him into a shot. I don't know why. That's why you play the game.
Shit. Not for the money.
Not marry reality stars and...
Yeah, it's definitely not for a big contract.
Have the good health insurance for your insulin.
Yeah, but you're saving some money on the non-vaccines, so.
Yeah, that's true. So in the spirit of the Matthew Stafford contract, it got all of us thinking, if we were to sign a big contract, and for us it would be an entry-level contract, if you were to sign a contract playing your professional sport, everybody likes to go out and do things with their money the first time they get it. And it got us thinking about what we would do with our money. So that's the inspiration for this week's fantasy draft. First big purchases after you signed on the dotted line. And to kick us off, we have DB.
So, you know, a lot of players, when they get their first big contract, they go with a car or a house, or, you know, they buy their parents something. I'm kind of going like, you know, after I do that shit or nah,
right.
No, yeah. I'm going, this is what I'm doing first.
Well, right. I would do all that stuff with the money I got from the boosters.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then
this is my own contract.
Right. So yeah. after you have the family set up, this is like the first purchases that are exciting. And for my first purchase, it's actually a little bit of charity. So I am going to hire a private investigator to help O.J. Simpson find Nicole Brown's actual killer.
That's very noble of you.
Thank you. So
O.J.'s like, no, I'm good, man. Yeah. No, cool. I appreciate it, but nah.
So I think that's what I would spend my first dollars on would be to help O.J. out a little bit. He's going to be getting out of jail soon, so
yeah.
The search for the killer will be back on once he's out of jail, and I would like to help him find that killer.
I'm all for anything that gets us more of those ESPN documentaries and the People versus O.J. Simpson type documentaries.
This is going to be Making a Murderer 2.
Nice.
But yeah, so we'll see how O.J. comes out, the picture that they paint with this one.
I'm guessing not good. All right, for my first pick... I think we all know I wouldn't be making my money in baseball. I'd be making it in the WNBA.
Obviously.
Of course.
So my,
your $120,000 contract, what are you buying?
An independent minor league baseball team.
Nice. Chillicothe Paints? I do this,
oh yeah, fuck it. Chillicothe, anyone. Yeah. I'll buy Florence Freedom. Don't know many other independent baseball teams.
Let's each buy an independent minor league baseball team, and then we'll just form our own league, Mill Iron Sports League.
We'll end up cucking the MLB. We'll combine teams for a super team and cut the other three teams worth of players.
We'll do 3-on-3 baseball.
Nice.
Boom.
But my inspiration or my reason for buying an MLB or minor league baseball team in the independent league, because I don't think I could pull this stunt with an affiliated team. But I just want somewhere that I can go be a major leaguer or professional baseball player for a day, whenever I'm really feeling like it. Like, hey, boys, I didn't really think about it until I'm talking and saying it out loud. But essentially, I guess I would be the Jackie Moon of minor league baseball.
I was about to say, are you announcing yourself Jackie Moon style?
I honestly had no idea. I had not even thought of that correlation until I was talking out loud. But yeah, guys, I'm going to play center field today. Hey, I'm batting fourth. So, and you guys can't say shit because you make $60 a week and I own you.
And then, of course, like, you know, some of the time you're going to be up in the owner's suite but yeah. you would still have that jersey on just to kind of intimidate the just guys. Like, hey, I'm going to pinch it when I want, bitch.
Yep. Hey, someone. Hey, if you can't throw strikes, I'll do it at 65 miles an hour, bitch. This is how it's done. You damn kids don't know anything about control.
I think that'd be good for club morale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
I'm going obvious answer here, and I can't believe it hasn't fallen off the board yet. Just two chicks at the same time. That's what I'm doing with my contract. I figure I can make that happen because I'll be a billionaire. So just two chicks at the same time, man.
Fucking A, man.
Fucking A.
A simple answer. I don't need an explanation. Just two chicks at the same time.
Here's a question that might land you in some hot water. Is one of those chicks your wife?
Absolutely not. $1 million?
I like that answer.
I already told my wife about this answer, so I'm already out of the doghouse. That's my first answer, though, is just two chicks at the same time.
Two chicks at the same time.
I feel like that probably happens in a lot of first contracts.
Yeah, so. Maybe.
Turn it to channel 3.
Doing breast exams.
I'm sorry, man.
Don't worry, I won't tell nobody.
She looks like Anne, doesn't she? I guess she kind of does.
So if people that are familiar with the movie Office Space will get Hefe's reference about two chicks at the one at the same time. Others will just think he's a huge pervert. So.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Both are
it's all. It's both. Yeah.
If you're listening to this and haven't seen Office Space, just unsubscribe.
Wait, no.
But
no.
Then resubscribe.
Pause it right now. Go watch Office Space and come back and listen to the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then unsubscribe and resubscribe
and leave us a review.
Yep. So okay. So, what'd you guys think of the movie? Good, huh? All right.
Hilarious.
So,
can you believe that he? Never mind.
Jennifer Aniston.
Spoiler alert.
So I'm a little bit, disappointed in you guys. I figured at this point in our lives, you would be a little bit more responsible with your money and, you know, invest it instead of just throwing it away on things that aren't really going to get you any return because you're not really setting up yourself for the future there. So that's why, for me, my first contract, I'm going to take all the money and I'm going to invest it all on 13 black on the roulette table. Because when that hits, then I can just retire. I'm not even going to need to play out for my next contract. I mean, what are the odds of a single number on a roulette table? You multiply a multi-million dollar
35
contract.
35-1.
Yeah, so I took
let
that.
Let it run.
Yeah, I'm a billionaire, basically. I took my $100 million contract, and now I'm a $3.5 billionaire. So I'm surprised you guys didn't think
of that. Good at math.
Yeah.
Nerd.
And then, so wrapping it back around into the second round, another obvious pick that I'm surprised that did not get taken, Happiness.
It's not possible to do a mic drop with our equipment, but Witty just did it.
The draft just ended.
Like, he just melted into his couch like, what's up?
But wait, I thought that money couldn't buy happiness.
Wait, I think Hefe
you
already
said you can't.
Hefe Tech kind of bought happiness with his first pick.
I did.
I think he's setting himself up for disappointment.
About 15
for
seconds.
At least 20 seconds I bought happiness.
Yeah, 60 seconds in Hefe.
Ooh, that's a Hall of Fame bit.
So one of my favorite rappers has a line, and I don't know it exactly, but he says, money can't buy happiness, but I'd rather be crying in my Corvette.
Yeah, that Macklemore just spits that's fire.
Funny. That's Royce.
I'm just kidding.
Why wouldn't he buy a Rolls Royce?
I was just trying to think of a whack rapper to say that you liked.
Little Yachty.
Is Macklemore whack? I did not get that memo.
He's Whacklemore.
Yeah. Ooh.
And now we have Mac with more picks.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Hefe's turn.
No, Hefe
he forfeited his pick.
He forfeited his pick when he took a Vontaze Burfict stance earlier.
Yeah.
My second pick.
With Dr. McDraft pick.
He's got a 5-podcast suspension.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to get it rescinded or dropped to 1-2. My second pick, I am going to go.
Three chicks.
No, that would be a good one. I'm fat. We had our stint in OU. I'm gonna buy a DPDO franchise.
Nice. I figured that
possibly
was gonna...
possibly the whole company.
Yeah.
If it's a big enough contract.
I think at least three of us had that on our list, probably.
I think that a DPDO franchise for sure.
I think that Scarface had a rule about not getting high on his own supply. So you are going to run that franchise into the ground.
I am going to buy and bankrupt a DVD franchise within 6 months' time.
But that's bad news because then DVD wouldn't exist. So you got to be careful with that.
Mm. Yeah. It's a fine line there, Hefe.
Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Great. Which brings me perfectly into my second pick. Hefe, we have different goals in mind with the purchase of these franchises. I would buy a Blaze Pizza franchise. seems kind of bizarre, right? Why would Mac want to buy a Blaze Pizza joint? Well, many people know. That's LeBron James. He's an investor in that pizza place.
Why is it Blaze Pizza? Does he smoke a lot of joints?
I think it's wood-fired.
Blaze?
Sure.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. But I would buy a Blaze franchise. And I would run that son of a bitch into the ground. And I'm not just talking bad management decisions that make the place go belly up. I'm talking like dead rats on the pizza, like a sole of someone's shoe, like in the crust of the pizza.
Or somebody's like literal sole too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm literally going to make that the most disgusting pizza place on the planet.
Farting aggressively at customers.
Oh, exactly. You're going after that Little Caesar target market.
Oh, you want double cheese?
Yeah. Just instead of Ducalax, or instead of pepperoni, I'm just going to like do slices of Ducalax just across it. I'm going to make it the least desired pizza place on the planet. So not only will my location have a terrible reputation, the entire place will just go bankrupt. And LeBron James will be out his investment and... I will still have my mortal enemy.
It's very spiteful of you.
Especially since we're a LeBron cast.
No, we're not.
So
all right. So moving on from two franchises, food franchises. I'm going to go with, you know, we see this every once in a while after the after championships where teams will go to a nightclub or a bar and run up a ridiculous tab.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to try and top the Golden State Warriors' most recent victory party tab, which was $150,000 at one bar.
Oof.
So I am just trying to break that record that they set.
I haven't looked at the article or seen what it was on, but I just saw that I saw a headline somewhere that said Conor McGregor had like a $100,000 bar tab after his fight.
Yeah. So that would definitely be one of the first things that I did. I would just have a huge party and try and break that huge bar tab, either in Vegas or I don't know, somewhere fun.
In Athens.
And if you watch any of the Conor McGregor videos,
I could probably buy the entire bar for $100,000.
If you watch any of the Conor McGregor videos, I think a lot of that $100,000 bar tab was consumed by him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty wild.
That's funny.
I mean, that's a big payday for him. Good for him.
Oh, yeah. I like when these stories come out, too. I think there was a recent one that came out that was, it was one of the, like, the NFL, like, rookie, we won't call it hazing because we're not a pro-hazing podcast.
No,
yeah.
No.
One of the rookie pranks that they play where they just have a ridiculously high tab that they make the rookies pay for. And I was looking through it. And,
it was the Green Bay offensive line.
Was it?
It was. Yep.
But like I saw like a couple things on there that were like $10,000 each, and they were like these ridiculously expensive like bottles of wine, I think.
Yep.
And like that just fascinates me when I see like one item of something worth like thousands of dollars. I always have to look up and see what it is, and I can't imagine that being any better than you know, a $5 thing, a Barefoot Moscato. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's any better.
So wrapping it back around after my huge bar tab that I would try and break some records with, I am going to go a callback to a famous Dave Chappelle sketch from the last season. And I would just sprinkle diamonds on everything that I ate and make my dookie twinkle.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
That's going to shred your insides and you're going to shit blood.
He'll be out by game three just because he's got torn apart insides.
Yeah.
Most bottled in his shit ever.
Well, that's good, DB. I don't know if I can top that, but I'm going to try. My last pick, I would buy a go-kart mini golf resort.
Nice.
You see those in a lot of vacation destinations where they have the awesome go-kart tracks and then mini golf right next to it. I'd buy one of those, and I wouldn't even keep it open for the public. It would just be my own little playground. Nice. I'd go play putt-putt for, you know. I'd be like Cartman at Casa Bonita.
Or at Cartmanland when he buys.
Yeah, or Cartmanland, yeah, when he buys, yeah. I was just thinking when he's trying to get all the things in before the cops come get him or whatever at Casa Bonita or whoever's coming for him.
Ah, Casa Bonita.
Yeah. Oh my God, look, waterfall he's going to jump at the waterfall. Yeah, but no, or Cartmanland. That's what I would do. So.
You'd never have to go to Gatlinburg either.
And I'd never lose a race.
Yeah.
Although I'd let you guys.
Until you pull an Earnhardt and hit the wall and then we never hear from you again.
That's true. That is a risk I run. No, I'd let you guys come along. Well, two of you.
It sucks for Witty.
That's okay. I already bought happiness, so I don't need to come to your shitty park.
Witt would be sitting in a room smiling, and we're just like, yeah, run go-karts! If you haven't learned anything about the Natty Boys podcast, we like to talk about a lot of movies and quote a lot of movies. Also TV shows. So with my final pick, I am going to go with our friends from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I'm going to buy a P. Diddy-esque party shipping vessel. Basically just a big yacht I'm going to buy because I'm going to be able to take my two chicks out there, and they'll have to put out because of the implication.
Because of the implication.
So, yeah. So I'm going to get my money's worth if I'm out in the middle of international waters. So,
are you going to hurt these girls?
Yeah, I was going to say. I think we might have to open an investigation.
No, I'm definitely going party yacht, though. Wolf of Wall Street style. It's going to be a huge, huge boat.
What are you naming it?
Double meat, dude.
Nice.
Because I'm going to be a DPDO owner, so.
And you got two chicks coming on it.
It's going to be Drop Zone Double Meat, baby. That's going to be the name of my boat. So, yeah. And I'll invite you guys to parties.
Nice.
Can we bring go-karts?
Yeah. There'll be water go-karts.
I'm going to respectfully land and pass. Sea.
Water go-karts are called Sea-Doos or jet skis, actually?
No, they're just water go-karts.
I can't dry accelerated on the...
He would have ruined it.
Oh, God.
And also, intellectual property rights, water go-karts. We own that now.
Yep.
Yes, we do.
Pumpkin spice water go-karts. So, to wrap things up and end our fantasy draft, I'm going to go a little bit more practical. A little bit more realistic. First thing I'm buying after getting my first big contract is two double cheeseburgers, plain, 10-piece chicken nugget, and a large Coke, no ice.
I think that's what Chad bought with his first contract.
That's sound. As long as you've got one of those between your house and the bank, I think you're money.
Yep.
I don't like to deviate from a direct path from where one place to the other. So,
I do all my banking online now. So,
direct deposit, baby.
Yeah, welcome to the 21st century.
So, would you buy the McDonald's, or you would just get that McDonald's order?
That's just my standard order. If I'm feeling hungry, I might throw in a third cheeseburger, maybe a double quarter pounder with cheese instead of a cheeseburger.
Ooh.
Calories don't count when you're rich.
That's right. I'll buy negative calories.
Did anyone have any good honorable mentions?
The one honorable mention that I had, it assumes that I'm in an NFL franchise and that I don't play for the Packers. And I was going to go to every single person that owns Packer stock. I'm going to buy it from them so that I could own the team and then sell the team. That way I could get rid of one of my rivals.
Nice.
That's smart.
I have a I was going to pay a traveling Skyline staff so that I don't have to ever go without Skyline, no matter where I'm at.
You could just have the two chicks bring it.
I could. And then I was also, I was going to pay to set up a match between Conor McGregor and LeBron in an MMA cage.
Conor McGregor versus Secretariat?
Ooh. Yes.
The boxing match of the century.
But I was just going to watch him pound LeBron into the ground.
Yeah, but they'll be using horse boxing rules.
Jesus Christ.
I think it's, what, 3-ounce horseshoes?
Yeah, I didn't have any honorable mentions. I've got very specific goals. So, ruining LeBron's life, playing mini golf and riding go-karts, and getting to be the Jackie Moon of independent baseball, I think I'd be just fine by me.
Very nice.
One thing you don't have to be rich to do yet is subscribe to the podcast. So be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell us the things you like, don't like. Actually, the things you don't like, just direct to Milliron El Jefe on Twitter. But be sure to check us out on Milliron Sports.
El Jefe will be the one bitching about Perfect on there if you if you follow him.
Check us out on Twitter. The main account is at Milliron Sports. All of our individual Twitter bios are in, our Twitter handles are in that bio. Be sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Milliron Sports. And as always, check us out on the website, Milliron Sports.com. Gentlemen, good show. We'll have a nice full weekend of football to talk about for the next week's episode.
College football's back, baby.
See ya.